Helpful. This evening, I would like to turn from in the book of St. John, chapter 1. St. John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, and the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Are you thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. They asked him and said unto him, Why baptize thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is whom coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latches I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethsaida, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After he cometh, a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record of that, and bear record that this is the Son of God. And I like to remain with the 34th verse. Let us bow before the Lord. As we read his account of the Apostle John. We know a little bit about John. He was a very close disciple of Jesus Christ. In fact, I believe the scriptures record that he was one that oft times was in the bosom of Christ. He was that close, and he was near and dear. And so here we see where we read where he writes about Christ and how he was the light of the world. However, we see also that John writes about Christ in this way, where the other Gospels write about his birth, which we read about Sunday, and how he came into the world as a babe. But here he is introduced as the one that, as he says here, the one that stands before us, stands before you, and he's the Lamb of God. And so this is where it is announced, if you will, that he is the Lamb of God. And we know that. We learned that. We studied that. We understand that. We knew that for a long time. But here John is introducing this to the people, the Israelite people, so that they could be aware now that this man has come to save them of their sins. He was born into this world for this reason. And so John is introducing him to them. And that's why he says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And when it talks about the Word, that's talking about Christ. Christ is the Word. And when you see it written in the scriptures about the Word, you're talking about Christ. He is the Word. And so this is what he's referring to. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. So you see, when he was born, and we read about that last Sunday, he was born into this world. That wasn't his first. That was only because he was born into this world and introduced to mankind. But he was from the very beginning. He helped make this world. He helped make and create everything that there is. That's what it says here. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So you see, Christ was from the very, very beginning with God. He's God's son, and he was from the very beginning. And this is what the Apostle John was bringing to our attention, that we realize and understand that. He didn't just come into this world as a little babe, and now he grew up, and he taught us how to live. That was his experience, yes. But he was from the very beginning of time. He helped make this world. And so to get us some idea and give us a feel for, if you will, of who Christ really is. He's the Son of God. He was with God all the time. He helped make this world. And so he has preeminence over any other individual, any other human being that was ever born. That's Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so this is what he's introducing us here to. Because he says, in him is life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So you see, when he came into this world, it says he brought this light. You know, sometimes you hear this statement, I saw the light. You've heard people finally, when they finally grasp what this means, they finally, Jesus Christ, yeah. He's my Savior. He's the Lord of Lords. It's like the light come on. And so that's what it's talking about here. He is that light. And that's what we hear. That's what we understand. He was that light. And so that's why he says here that the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so he came into this world. The world was in darkness. We know that. Sin was rampant. But he came in to bring the light of God to mankind so that they would understand and know what they have a way of salvation through him. And this is a light that he's talking about that he brought into the world. And so he says here, in him was life, and life was the light of the men, and light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended him not. And then it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this same John he's talking about is himself. This man that he's saying was sent, whose name was sent by God. And the reason that he came was to kind of introduce Christ to the people at that time. And that's what he was doing here. He said, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So you see John's role. Can we understand here what John is writing about, what he is saying, that he came here to introduce John, or to introduce Christ as the light in the world? Because they was in darkness. We've got to understand that for, 400 years, there was nothing there. The people were just people, that's it. And then when Christ came into the world, he's the one that brought this light and then started to become a religion, if you will, and people began to believe, and this is what he's talking about here. And then he says, he was in the world, but the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. So you see, it re-verifies here that he made the world. And that we know as we know it, that he made the world. But then it says that the world knew him not, which means the people in the world didn't know him. And so this is why John introducing him to the people and to us, if you will, who he was. And he was, as he says, the light of the world. Came to his own, but his own received him not. When he talks about his own, we realize sometimes we don't think about Jesus Christ as being a Jew. For a long time, that didn't register with me. But he was a Jew. And so this is why it says here, he came to his own, which were the Jews. And that's what he did. He came for the Jewish people originally, first. And so they received him not. To them, he was just another man. Didn't mean anything. They knew him. We can read there what they knew him, because it even talks about, I think it's in Luke, and it talks about him, and it says, who is this? Isn't he is his parents from Bethlehem? We know his dad and mom, his sisters and his brothers. Who is this Jesus? And so they had to learn who he was, what this all meant, not realizing that he was the King of Kings. He was the one that came to save them. He was the one that was going to forgive their sins. And he didn't understand that. They didn't know that. They knew him as, that man from Nazareth. That's why they call him a Nazarene, because he came from Nazareth. His parents, he was born in Bethlehem. Because of the taxes that came along, they had to go to Egypt. When he came, the king that put this on him died, so they came back from Egypt. And instead of going then to Bethlehem, they had to veer off because there was someone else was going to kill them. And so they went and ended up being in Nazareth instead of Bethlehem, where that's why they called him. And this is where he was raised, in Nazareth. And that's why he is called a Nazarene. You see some churches named, and we, our own a church, the Apostolic Christian Church of the Nazarene. That's us. We're the Apostolic Christian Churches of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. And so this is where this all originated. This is where it all come from. So we kind of understand and get a feeling for perhaps our roots, our faith, our church. How does it come from? It started years ago, back in Europe yet. And it was all brought over here when so many people came from Europe, and that religion, that the Apostolic Church we know of started years ago in New York, and they actually didn't stay long in New York. They've migrated here to the Ohio, and that's why there was at one time 5 churches in the city of Acre. This is how this has all migrated and began. And there was reason there was five churches, because they all gathered in one church, and it was Serbian, Slovak, Hungarian, and German. And so first the Germans left, and then I think the Slovaks went. They started their own church, and then the Hungarians left, and the Serbians stayed in West Akron, which they called West Akron at the time. So we had East Akron, West Akron, South Akron, and North Akron. And it was all in them directions, and that's how they got their name. This is just a little bit of history that many of you may not even know. And so just to give you a feel, those of us that are a little older are well aware of all this, but many of you probably don't realize this. But anyways, this is what this here all, how this all started, is the Apostolic Christian Church, how we believed, how we started following after Jesus Christ. And it was patterned after his teachings. We all have learned to try to follow his ways and live according to what he taught us as he walked this earth. And the scriptures give us all kinds of instructions on how to live our lives as a believer. And we then become the light in the light of the world. And you've heard that expression. Even when we give our testimonies, and they're asked about being a Christian, how to walk and how to live, that you can be a light in this world. And this world definitely needs a light. We know that sin is rampant in our society today, and there needs to be people that have the light of Jesus Christ in their life. And what that means is nothing more than you live a godly life. You don't cheat, you don't swear, you don't go to bars, there's all kinds of things you don't do, because this is just not a part of us. This is part of the world that we avoid, that we drop, we should have no part of. And there's a lot of other things in this world that we, the same way, should have no part of. We should keep our mind and centered on and focused on Jesus Christ and not the things of this world. And that's what it's talking about here when it talks about the world knew him, or the world, he was in the world, but the world knew him not. And he came for his own, but they received him. But it says, as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. So you see, this is where then the believers, and we're known as believers. This is how we come to know Christ. We begin to believe. We begin to trust in him. We hear the word. Maybe even from when we was children in Sunday school, we learned about Jesus Christ. And as we grew and was raised in the faith, raised in the church, we understand then what it means to be a child of God eventually. And so when we know and learn this, when you become the age of accountability, which many times is 12 and on up, is recognized. Not everybody is converted at 12 years old, but that seems to be the age. And so when they begin of an age to understand, to grasp the meaning, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be dead to sin, what it means to be to live a godly life. And this don't come overnight. This comes from a time. This comes from learning. This comes from coming to church Sunday morning, noon, and night, and then Wednesday night. You come and you hear this word. How we grow. This is how we learn about Jesus Christ and learn about this light that's in the world. And we're thankful that there are so many of you young people that do come and want to hear this. That one of these days we can see here and we can watch you become baptized in this baptismal pool behind me. That's a dream of every parent here that has children that are unconverted. And usually with the age of accountability, maybe 12, but it seems like it's most children are a little more mature when they're about 16, 17, 18 years old. I've seen them, they aren't mature at 21. You know that, we've seen that too. But most children, most people, young people are aware, they know, and there's a need for their soul salvation. And as a result of that, you grasp the meaning of it, what it means to have a Savior, what it means to believe in Jesus Christ, what it means to die to sin and then be baptized in the likeness of his death and then to live a godly life. So all of this is entailed in what we see here, believe on his name. That's what it means to believe. It's not just, okay, I know Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian, I know his name. It's more than that, a lot more than that. But when we say we believe, what do we believe? And we have to go from cover to cover. Believe every word in here. And when you believe that, you become a real believer in Jesus Christ. And this is what it's talking about to them that believe. And then he says, which were born out of blood, not of the will of flesh or the will of man, but of God. So you see, you get that, that's where this expression comes, born again. You see, when you come dead to sin, you repent, you become dead to sin, then you become baptized. The baptism doesn't wash away your sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away your sin. But the baptism is the symbol that you have been baptized in the likeness of his death. This is what it means. Read it in Romans chapter 6. Makes it very clear what it means to be baptized in the likeness of death of Jesus Christ. And so this is all entailed in this, to be born, not of the blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of man, but of God. And then it goes on to say, the word was made flesh, dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so then John, it says here, bared witness of him that cried, saying, this is whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. He was before me. So you see, they got this feeling that John, being this voice in the wilderness, if you will, he was preaching, and people gathered all over the place. They all wanted to hear what he's talking about, and they didn't understand it, and they wanted to know what. And then he had to identify himself. I am not him, he said. I'm just one crying in the wilderness. There's one that comes after me, and I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. John made that pretty clear. But he was here to declare that Jesus Christ is among us, and you need to believe on him because he's the one that's going to save your soul. And that applies even to this very day. That's the only hope that you and I have, is believe on Jesus Christ. If we have any intention of ever seeing heaven, we must believe in him, and that our soul will be saved if we become one of his followers, baptized in the likeness of his death. This is what it means. This is what we're all encouraged. We teach our children this. We want them to grasp the meaning and understanding of it, so that one day, when you, as it says here, see the light of Jesus Christ, and you want to become one of his children. That's what it means. And so it entails all of this here. And as he goes on to say here, he said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And this is, when we talk about the law, we know we got the Ten Commandments, and there are a lot of other laws that went along with this that the Israelite people come up with, if you will. There were many of them. You can read them in the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus and them places where all the laws are laid out for the, and all the things that they needed to do, supposed to do as their children of Israel. But it says here that all came by Moses, but truth and grace came by Jesus Christ. And what that, I believe, means, he mean by that is, you see, you didn't have to live by the law. See, that's the way they thought. You have to live by the law. And if you violated the law, you messed up. No matter what, just one little law, you messed up. You're done. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's not true with him. We all fail. We all make mistakes. That's very true. But what do we do with them? The Bible teaches us that we must confess our faults one to another that we may be healed. And when we do that, that's when we can continue to live and profess to be God's child. But we must confess our sins one to another. When that happens, even when you're a believer, the only remedy is confession. Confession, and what confession does, it simply brings it to the light. You see, you can say, well, I confess to God. Well, that's good. But you need to bring it to the light. You need to confess to man so that it comes to the light, comes to the surface, so that it exposes Satan. And that's what it does. When you confess Satan, or you confess that you expose Satan, that's what you're doing. And so this is what you want to do when you become one of God's children. And so this is what it's all about. So that's why he says here, the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And then he goes on to say, this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites to Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? He said, I'm not Christ. And he goes on to say about that. He said, I am the one crying in the wilderness. And so then, as further down it says, they asked him and said unto him, why baptize thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He is whom coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latches I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethsaida, Bethabara, before Jordan, where John was baptizing. So you see, we have a baptism. In fact, we have two baptisms. You're baptized with the water. That's the burial of the old person. When you die to sin, you're buried in the likeness of his death in the water. And then we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the elders will lay their hands upon you, pray, and that you are then considered sealed, the Holy Spirit in your life, to guide you and to direct you. And this is what the baptism of the Spirit is all about. So you see, there's actually two baptisms, baptism in the water, baptism in the Spirit, just so you understand that. Because that's the thing that our church practices. This is our faith. We believe it to be this way. And that's what it is. And so we accept it as such. The truth, grace, and this is what we have. And so you see, all of this is a part of being one of God's children, how we become, if you will, apostolic Christians. And so if you have any desire at all, you want to become a child of God, these are the things you must know and understand. We have brothers that, if you're interested at all, you need to see one of the brothers. They'll explain every bit of this to you. You need to counsel with them. And sometimes it takes a couple of different consultations together. But we want to make sure that you understand what it means to die to sin, to be baptized in the water, and to be baptized of the Spirit, so that you fully understand what sort of a life you're getting into. And so don't let that frighten you. Don't let that scare you in any way. It's not that hard. It's not hard at all, especially if you lean on God, lean on the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the key. And if you can do that, rest assured, you will and can be one of God's children. May God bless these words upon our hearts.
The passages in the Gospel of John often contrast faith and unbelief. And these two are very powerful. We see in the Pharisees that were sent to John the Baptist, they asked their questions And yet, they remained unchanged. They were in unbelief. And we see, John says here, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What a dramatic change that God is able to do. And what a powerful thing that we perhaps underestimate. What an impact that true faith has if we really believe the things that Jesus Christ has said. There is in geography the idea of the Rocky Mountains in the U.S. They make up the highest point in the continental U.S. And the water that falls to one side will go to the Pacific Ocean. The water that falls to the other will go towards the Atlantic. Completely different destinations. Where we fall in the spiritual world and spiritual life between faith and unbelief will make a determination of our destination as well. It's a powerful thing. And the Gospel of John puts these things, contrasts them so often so that we have a choice. We can choose. Are we going to question and say, well, I need to be convinced by somebody with a little bit more authority than you? Or will we say, it's a simple message. It's a simple truth. I'll believe it and embrace it with all my heart and allow God to do the work to make me his son and daughter. That's our hope for each and every one of us as we come to hear the word, and we pray that the Lord would add his blessing. Amen.